Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors in what has been another week of carnage in our back lines with Zach Williams going down with an Achilles injury, gone for the year, so top 5, top 10 certainly, defender gone for the year, but also one of our, I won't say top tier ruckman slash forwards, also gone with Kurt Tippett announcing his retirement effective immediately. Waits until the season's about to start so he can collect that paycheck for the year. But we are talking our forward rankings this week. And as always, is Stevie Fizz. Welcome to the show, pal.
Ah, yeah. G'day, Jono. G'day, listeners. I'd actually completely forgotten all about Zach Williams because days had passed. But I was obviously shattered about that because he was my number one ranked Supercoach defender heading into the year. But bringing the hot fire as usual. Another strampling. I've come in with the statesman, come in with Mrs. Fizz, and today I'm strampling the love of my life, baby Fizz. I'm sick again.
Like another, it's the middle of summer. How do you get sick in summer?
I've got some throat tickle. I've had it all weekend. I'm sort of getting over it now. But God damn it, baby Fizz. You go off to swimming or whatever the hell you're doing, you just get sick. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, what are you doing with your life? Get it together. Be more like Colin Sylvia.
Yeah, you can see baby Fizz just stealing credit card numbers from a Reno and then going to the strippers and...
Well, I hope so. And... otherwise, I haven't done my job as a parent, quite frankly.
But how do you rack up that amount of money in bloody pornography? Isn't pornography free these days?
Well, I would have thought so.
I don't know, maybe he likes it old school style, just with a big centerfold. And someone who probably likes the old big centerfold is our Tasmanian correspondent, the Statesman. Welcome to you, mate.
Gentlemen, there's certain periods of the year that I don't enjoy. There's certain things that happen where people sort of become experts all of a sudden. And this fortnight is when one of my most hated sports, everyone becomes an expert at. Everyone's talking about it. You go to the lunchroom, it's on, and everyone's talking about the second set. It just annoys the living crap out of me. I can't stand this sport. This is a sport for rich kids that we all like for 2 weeks. I had friends that were tennis teachers in Melbourne. This is a long time ago. Yes, because I'm talking friends. That was a long time ago when I had those. But they were tennis coaches, and they said everyone picked up a tennis racket, but a month after the Open was finished, no one talked tennis for them for the remainder of the year. I can't stand this time of year. It's on television everywhere. I try to avoid it. So thank Christ for the Big Bash. It's tremendous. It's a relief. Happy little camper when that's on.
But even that's coming to an end. We're not getting it every night, every couple of days now.
AFLW's on, buddy. Straight back into the footy season. The real season's back soon, boys.
You know what I loved the other night was the soccer was on, the Big Bash was on, the tennis was on, and Happy Gilmore was on. And
did you watch Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, of course I did, for the 8,000th time.
God bless it. Watch a bit of golf.
That's right. And if you are enjoying the show, you can check us out on social media. You can do that by following us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got our rankings and articles dropping each and every week. And follow us also on Instagram as well. Search The Draft Doctors there and Facebook. But we are talking our forward rankings. We are going to go through our top 30 of each game. And as always, the Statesman's going to kick us off with these AFL fantasy rankings.
Well, I'm going to be much happier now, gentlemen, because all of a sudden we're talking fantasy football. So I'm a happy camper. I've got over my tennis. We'll move on. Number one, and I should say the first four is nice and easy to go through because they're actually part of my top 30 rankings. The first off, Sam Minicola. I'm pretty hot on what's going to happen at Geelong this year, and Sam's going to be an important part of it. We do know they lost some fringe players, some outside run, so they're going to have to utilise that from their current players, which will give Sam more opportunities. Worst case scenario, he'll play that half forward role and he'll still score in the mid-90s. But if he plays that midfield role for 60 to 70% of game time, he is going to be in the 110s. So I predict there'll be a mixture of both, but he should be probably the only forward that will average over the 100. So Sam Minigola, number one for me. Another one I'm hot on, and it's, I don't know if it's the body or it's the playing style, the poster makes me a very happy camper, and that's, of course, Mr. Isaac Heaney. As we know, he missed the pre-season last year, had glandular fever, started, I think, around 6. So he's a bit slow to start off with, still averaged 92. He'll get more and more midfield time as it goes. He should be close to cracking the ton this year. Number three, Jack Billings. I've got going from a 94 average to about a 97, 98. And I think that'll be around his mark until he increases a bit more of the midfield rotation. And those three I had ranked overall 14, 15 and 17. The unlucky to miss out on the top 30 to be the fourth forward was Michael Barlow. And it was just the injury concern that kept me out, because we don't know what role he's going to play. I'm assuming it's midfield. Again, he has a real chance to be well over a ton, but it's the amount of games he's missed through injury that actually kept him out of the top three. But we all know that Michael Barlow can actually average in the 105 to 110 range. Lance Franklin is at number five for me, average 96. He's been a great scorer for a long period. He can have his down days. He is one of those players. He's generally make or break. Number six, I've got Chad Wingard. It's amazing for the type of season he had. He actually averaged 92. But we've been waiting for a massive breakout and consistent breakout for Chad. We haven't really seen it yet, so that's why I still keep him under that sort of top five at the moment. Toby Green at number seven. Again, it depends on the role, but if he plays that forward line role that he has over the past two seasons, he's a better footballer than he is a fantasy footballer, but he's still easily in the top 10 for forwards. Of course, he could be a real pig if he just played midfield, but we know how much quality they've got there. So I think he's proved that that's going to be his role at GWS.
Yeah, just a question on Toby Green. Like, I've got him in at F14 for the Dream Team. You're not concerned by the lack of preseason?
Yeah, of course. But look, he just knows how to get the footy, mate. I would have had him much higher, and if I thought he was in any way, shape, or form someone that was going to get any midfield time, he'd be clearly in the top three. Clearly.
He just worries me as all.
No, I totally understand that, but it's just hard to ignore the stats. He can just find the pill, and he can score 150. Next one, can't score 150, but if he continues the role, I'm a little bit worried where it's at, but look, I don't think they're going to drop him for the time being. That's Travis Boak. I don't know what his long-term, his roles are going to be, but I think he's going to average in the 90s, so he needs to be still around that top 10. Because in Dream Team, I see only 10 players, possibly 11 or 12, cracking over the 90 average. Number nine is Handsome Tom. This is his year. This is big, and this will go big. He actually showed at the beginning of last season that when it clicks for him, he's going to be a very, very big scorer. Not normally a fan of key position forwards, and yes, he had a bit of a down second half of the season, but I reckon this is his time. No doubt one of the best players in the competition as well, and I think he will stamp his authority. I reckon Stuart Dew is actually going to be the right mix for that club. That might have to take a couple of small steps back, but I think they're going to move forward pretty quickly. And just to link off, and I'll let you guys chat about my top 10, you can't have Handsome Tom without having his good personality mate right beside him. So Tom Lynch from Adelaide, you can't split the pair, but I would go Handsome because he probably excites me a little bit more, but I think they're both going to be that low to mid-90s average.
Just on Handsome Tom, do you see him playing as that perma full forward or pushing up the green like that ugly Tom Lynch to get the marks as well as the goal assists, et cetera, et cetera?
Not quite, and it's not ugly. It's good personality, please. Let's be PC here, please. I obviously never to the extent of Tom Lynch, good personality, Tom, but you will see him be used as a person that's actually going to give them some relief on the wing at times. I think that's what they need to add into that game style. So he'll be leading up a fair bit more, but you still also want him around that goal square at times when it's important. But I think he'll play a much more important team role in 2018 onwards, and I think that'll be what you'll find from Stuart Dew's coaching.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. We've actually got... I'm blown away. I shouldn't say I'm blown away because I know you're a big Michael Barlow fan, so I've got him at number five for my forward. So we've actually got the same top five. I've just got Billings in front of Heaney and Buddy in front of Barlow, just because I'm more secure in what Buddy's role is going to be. And he's been pretty durable over the last couple of years, and we know what scores he pumps out. But the two guys, I've actually got three players different. I've got Handsome Tom quite a ways down at number 28. I don't want any part of that boom bust life. If you have him, you know what you're going to get at home. It's going to be a great score. But when he's away, you could be it could be a weak losing move playing Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast when he's away from home. We've just seen the score absolutely crater. If it's wet, you can't play him. I'm with you. I don't mind good personality, Tom. I've actually got him at number 9. But I've got Jack Gunston in at number 10. I think he's... I mean, even last year, he dropped off a little bit, but he was still very good. But the two that I think you're really missing is I've got number 6, Rory Lobb. I'm obviously super hot on him this year, but it's just the role. I'm certain he's going to play that role, and I'm certainly hotter on him than a number of other guys. And Jared Roughead, I've got at number 7. You just can't deny the scores and the durability. Coming off the missed time, he was fantastic. I see Hawthorn bouncing back in a big way this year. Oh, I can't leave him out. You got Boak in there. I mean, I'm blown away. I had to rank Travis Boak at 15. I didn't want to, but I sort of had to because he's just a dream team gun. And Chad, Chad's kind of annoying, isn't he? I got him at 8. I don't...
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. He's a guy I could see doing anything. Because see, every other year with Chad, every other year he scores 80 and the other year he scores like 90.
Yeah, I don't know about Hawthorn, and I have not got the confidence that you guys have got. I don't even have Jared Ruffhead in the 30.
That is crap.
Wow. And you have to have Ruffy in the...
Don't consider him in there at all. Gunston's quite low, and I didn't even consider Sicily. I just don't know what any of those roles are going to do, so I won't be ranking them or putting them in. I'm quite happy to cop one wrong, but if I haven't got the confidence, I don't with Hawthorn, and I don't with the Western Bulldogs.
So that's Roughhead, Gunston, Sicily.
Sicily.
That is 3 strikes. You are out, my friend. You have whiffed.
No. I've got Gunston in the rankings, but they're just not as high as what you guys have.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's crackers, man. I can't get past that.
You can't get past that. Ruffies.
So I find that hard to believe. I really find that hard to believe.
You just get near a redhead and you can't go past them.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. Just the pastier, the better.
the pastier, the better.
Hey, look, what is right the average for his personality? Sorry, if we want to go really un-PC, 2 fat ladies, that's his average for like the last forever.
Yeah, but 84 average last year, 31.
Coming off the cancer. Coming off getting spanked and
cancer.
If you're going to give Heaney a pass for glandular fever, I'm giving this guy a pass for freaking cancer.
One's in their 20s, the other one's in the 30s. One's in a team that's fighting for top four.
Cade Simpson's going to be terrible, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
They, whatever. This is...
All right, moving on to my second 10. Jared Roughead, number 11. No bite there, gentlemen?
I'm just letting that through to the keeper, man. Because I love a good cricket analogy when I can get one.
Yeah. Number 11 is Darcy Parrish. Now, this is a big call. This is a boy on the rise. I think the midfield time is coming. Obviously, we know there's a bit of a changing in the guard at that club, and my expectations are high. I'm really annoyed this guy is at number 12, and I didn't want him to be in the top 20, but it was a bit hard to ignore, so I had to put it in, and that's Luke Dalhouse. I'm not confident. I don't like it, and if someone else picks him up rather than me, I'm just happy it's happened. And move on, go to the next player.
I think other than the Bont, it's going to be like that for the whole Western Bulldogs team. It's like, you want them, but you just don't know what they're going to dish up this year.
And you know the weird thing is someone's going to pick up some gems with that. So it's actually one I need to do more research.
See, people are saying Dalhouse is going to fall off the cliff. I don't think he's going to fall off the cliff. I just see him 90 to 85 perhaps this year.
He could be really good value if everyone's down on him. He maybe pick up late and all of a sudden get a cracker.
15, so I've got him 15, so that's not too far away from you.
Number 13, he's getting one last chance, and that's Devin Smith.
Ooh. Thought you would have had him in your top 10, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I...
There's such a love for him.
I got smacked by you guys, I don't know how many times last year, and I'm going, no, the kid will be right. They'll be able to manage his body. Well, they haven't managed his body.
Yeah, this is bad news to Devin Smith because I've got him at lucky 13 as well.
number 14, and it's really, it's the limited sample size that hasn't got him higher. I've just had to be conservative with Rory Lobb. We know what his role is going to be, but I don't know what his scoring level is going to be in that role. And that's my problem. I didn't see from the short sample that we got that you're going to get 100 average. I didn't see a 90 to 95 average. I saw a sub 90 average. Small sample, I know. So that's what I've had to go with, that conservative feel. If someone else takes the risk, but they're taking it because they're going to get a ruck forward, then good on them. But as a forward, I'm not going further than 14. And only if all the ruckmen are gone will I actually go Rory Lobb to get that security. Does that make sense to you, gentlemen?
Yep.
Fair enough. Next up was a bit of a breakout year for him. I consider him going to continue, and that's Joe Danaher. Yes, it's a hit and miss, so you're going to get, boom, crash and boom, but his overall average is going to be very close to the 90. I've got Jack Gunston at 16. As I've already expressed, I've got a real concern with what's going to happen at Hawthorn. Someone will score, but what I can't do is nail who that's going to be. So I don't know. I need to see the pre-season. If Sicily ends up being someone that plays in defence all year, I'm hot on him. But I'm not sure that he is. Gunston, I think, is a good, solid mid-range forward. If he plays that defensive role, then I think he's going to score quite well. So I'm just a little bit unsure what's going to happen there. So I've got my fears about Hawthorn, and that's why there's only one of them in there. There's not Sicily and there's not Roughhead, because I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Yes, I agree, Roughhead's, going to be in the 80s somewhere, but I just don't know where. Mitch Robinson, I've got at 17, coming back into the fold. It's funny, it's been a little bit of the by-play talk that he's actually going to play that defensive half forward. That sounds like it's what he's going to be his role. But I'm also thinking as well, he'll take a little bit of time in the midfield and use his body pressure there and just be part of that rotation. If it's the case, we know he can score a high 80s. For 18, I've got Michael Walters. And it's again about his role. If he was playing midfield, I'd actually have him getting close to the top 10. But I think it's going to be the mixture of both. Obviously, he'll be playing Harley Bunnell's role, half in the forward line and half through the midfield. Jack Martin at 19. And after Harley Bunnell demise, which seems to be the case, it'd be interesting to see what your thoughts are if he'll sort of get back in the AFL fold. But I've gone the risky pick at number 20, Brandon Matera.
Just going back to Robbo, do you see him playing perhaps a Prestia type run with tag role, or you just don't think he's got the tank to do that?
No, I think that's exactly what he's going to do, and I think he there's certain periods in his career when he's played that role and he's scored really well. What he does when he plays those roles is amass those tackles. He just really and still gets the in and under, so he's still getting... and what he likes to do is work off and actually take marks on his opponent, so becoming that leading option. So he tries, when the opposition have got the ball, is stay really close, so at any time his opponent gets the footy, he's tackling them. As soon as they've got the footy, he likes to become the marketing option, so his opponent has to be accountable for him. So you actually see that actually is a point-gathering role. It's not like a Ryan Crowley where it was just simply don't look where the football is, I'm just going to stop my opponent touching it.
That's exactly where I got him in that sort of role. I had Robbo at 22, but Darcy Parrish at 11, that's really rolling the dice of that one. I've got him down at 28 this year. I see improvement, but not being a top 20 forward this year.
You're seeing that even in the last 10, I'm really starting to look for the new breed of forwards, and I think that's what's going to happen. This is a transition year for forwards.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what I've got with my last 10. It's those up-and-coming type forwards for me. What have you got there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm actually with Statesman. I've got Darcy Parrish at 12. I'm more prepared to roll the dice to get the breakout-style player. I've actually got Michael Walters in at number 11. I was really blown away with his midfield performances last year. I don't see any reason why that's going to stop. He scored 140 in there, for crying out loud, at quite a number of tons. We know he had the injury game in that mix as well. I think he's going to be an absolute bargain in your drafts. I don't see... Yeah, and he's my favourite player, so I sort of got to go to bat for him. I guess Rory Lobb, you had at 14. Obviously, I'm very hot on Rory Lobb, so I don't need to speak to that anymore. Joe Danaher... as much as I like Joe Danaher, and I think I really liked him last year because he was a breakout candidate, I've got him at 27. I think he's a fantastic player, but I'm more interested in him in Supercoach. I just wonder if Essendon are going to be as good as they were last year. I think they can be, but again, the boom bust scoring, that doesn't interest me so much with my F2. So the guys I've got different. Statesman, I've got Christian Petrarca in at number 16. Jack Viney doesn't enjoy staying on the park. Petrarca's training through the midfield. Give me that third year upside, or fourth. I know it's his fourth year, but he's only played 2 years of footy. I've got Kane Lambert in at 17. I know the role can shift, but if you're comfortable having Mitch Robinson in there, give me the guy who's actually been playing footy and he's hungry.
Did he keep his forward status, did he?
Yes, he did.
Certainly did.
Wow. I actually discounted him when I was going through thinking that he wasn't retaining it. There you go.
Well, a little bit of research goes a long way.
I say that I actually stole someone else's material, and I'll give them a plug. You're actually going to have a beer with them tomorrow. But they've been updating the list and all the positions. And the only ones that weren't up there was Richmond. So I actually went back to the notes where we were talking about the keepers. And we all went, no, Lambert's going to lose his forward status. And I crossed him out and just put mid only. So that was my notes.
I think they dropped their Richmond one today, actually.
Right, did they? There you go.
Anyway, number 18, I have Toby McLean. I found it really hard to rank the Bulldogs players. So I've got Toby McLean and Luke Dalhouse back-to-back because one of them will score 87 in the forward role and do it pretty well. Don't know who it is. I've given Toby McLean the edge because he did it in the back half of last year, and I feel like the club really like him. And at number 20, I've got Melbourne's third-best key forward, Jesse Hogan.
Wow. Well, McLean and Hogan I have as both just miss.
Missed.
I think
I've got McLean and Caleb Daniel next bunch too. Of 30.
Let me spell out what happened to Jesse Hogan this year. He plays like Jared Roughead of yore. He is going to kick all the goals and he's going to run through the midfield. Tom McDonald is going to be their deep forward, and that's how it's going to be.
Okay. And he'll score well if he does.
And he's going to smoke some darts afterwards and just flick them in your face.
With the Australian cricket team.
Oh, how good was that? I had to take him off the Strempel list.
All right.
Last 10 there, Statesman.
Yes. Number 21, Jordan DeGoey. It's time to break. And I think that he needs to be doing that role for Collingwood. He showed some spurts last year. If you think that was sick, get ready for number 22, Brett Deledio.
No, I've got him in my next 30.
One,
I'm with you.
You guys are on drugs.
Last go. Speaking about one last go, 23, David Mundy.
David Mundy. God. Who am I talking to? Speaking about
definitely one last go, and I actually wish him well because he probably always would have been in the top 10 of the forwards. And number 24, I've got Robbie Gray. And I hope he has a good year. Number 25, Blake Akers. It's time for him to take the big step, average 78. Last year and really strung some games together. I think it's a big breakout for Blake Akers in 2018. I couldn't stand this one because I actually debated him and Jared Roughead. I ended up going him. And I agree, I'm falling into the hype that this club's got right now. And I'm sorry and I apologise to everyone. Charlie Dixon.
Nah. Not in my top 30, not for me.
I understand. Who was your 21, yeah. Sorry?
DeGoey.
You spend all your time throwing up when I mention his name.
That's true, I did do that. I'd have been 29.
Number 27 is a comeback of sorts because I think this guy, if he gets the string of the games together, he's been unlucky with injury the last couple of years, could actually be a sneaky top 10 forward scorer, and that's Mitch Wallace.
Yeah, don't mind it.
Yeah, I knew where you were going when you started your little being unlucky could be a gun because he absolutely could be. He could be a top five scorer.
Absolutely. And this one hurt for me to do, but again, it's the gut feel. And I normally don't go with the gut feel. And I think my line is my gut feel, if you're following your gut feel, is just ignore that completely and go with stats. But Jack Watts has that. First year out of a club, you get moved on, you actually work your butt off. Many have done it, and I think Jack Watts will. This will be his best year of his career, stat-wise, in 2018. Then number 29, Darcy Lang. Going with that young breakout, he's shown that he can get the tons up. And I'm quite hot on young Darcy Lang. I think he's going to do very well. And number 30 is CP.
You want me to go? Oh, boy.
Yeah, you can go, mate. I know you're coming off a long run-up on this one.
No James Sicily in at 21 for me.
Who was that, sorry?
James Sicily's in at 21 for me. I cannot ignore that form. I know I'm hotter on him than you guys, so that's fine. We'll let that one go.
Yep.
Through to the keeper. Brett Deledio and David Mundy coming from the Statesman.
I know. This
is quite amusing to me. Justified.
And they have had a heat wave in Tasmania, so it's been on high alert and 27 degrees, so everyone's feeling the pinch.
Have you had a stroke lately? Is that what's going on? had a stroke. I'm not just judging. He's gone a bit funny, so I'm just...
They're a bit hard to ignore. And I will say, this is how thin that line is.
I find it really interesting. It's actually and quite amusing that we've got some players. So, I mean, I know we're at the back end of the forward, so we're going to find them very different. But we actually had Robbie Gray and Blake Acres in exactly the same spot at 24 and 25. So it wasn't that quite funny. I'm with you on Mitch Wallace. I've got him just a little bit later, but I'm completely with you on the possibilities. I've got Jeremy Cameron at 22, just because we know he's going to do. I know it's only been one season in the sun, but I think he actually put together a really good year, and I think his average is deflated because he got injured, and I have the suspicion that he played with that injury over the last third of the season, and that's why the scores really fell off the cliff. So I'm actually kind of interested in Jeremy Cameron. One that you definitely do not have on your list that I'm really hot on this year, and undoubtedly I'll be the highest ranker of him. 26, I've got the general pattern.
I actually looked at him. I was just a little bit worried about their body.
Yeah, he's put it together lately with the body. If I'm buying into Rory Lobb being the number one ruck, then I'm buying into Jonathan Patton being the second ruck. Yep. We saw in the finals, he's getting 20 touches, 8 marks, a number of tackles, plus the hitouts, plus he can go off for 5 goals. Let's be honest, GWS are going to put some teams away this year. I'm really hot on the general pattern this year. I don't have to draft him at that range. I can certainly draft him later than I've got him. Darcy Lang, like I said, completely missed on. Jordan Ngoi, I've got in at 29. Yeah, Mitch Robinson, I've got at 30. Not excited about it at all. So that's sort of the lay of the land on that one.
But moving on now to the Supercoach rankings. Pretty similar top 4 or 5 there for like the Dream Team. So we'll run through them relatively quickly. Number one for me, Sam Menegola. As Statesman alluded to, can average 100. But with Supercoach, you're probably going to find there's going to be more forwards who will average 100. This year. Number two is the blonde bombshell himself, Isaac Heaney. Again, coming off the glandular fever, no preseason. Again, can average 100. Jack Billings, for me, averaged 92 in Supercoach. If he does get a few more minutes in that midfield rotation, again, looking to push 100. Toby Green comes in at number 4 for me, averaged 96 last year. Again, scoring is different. He can push the 100, gets that more midfield rotation time, kicks goals, tackles. He's got great pressure around the ground. Number 5, I'm sneaking Michael Barlow in for me. I just think he's the number one midfielder at the Gold Coast Suns this year. They've lost a lot of big bodies through Pestia Ablett over the last couple of years. They're going to need a big body in that midfield. I don't see him spending too much time forward. Next one is Buddy Franklin. He's just a goat. No more Tippett. He's going to be running up and down that wing, kicking goals, taking marks. He's been doing it for years. Can't see him falling off a cliff anytime soon. Josh Kennedy. He's a super coach stud. Builds his scores through his marks, kicks, and goals. If we think that the West Coast Eagles are going to be the excitement machine that they are, he's going to be getting a lot of supply inside that forward 50 and pushing for the common medal yet again. I've actually got Lunchmeat in at number 8. With the training with the midfield group, it is time for him to break out. Essendon do have the best drugs going around, so they're going to keep him on the park for the whole season. Number 9 is Rory Lobb. Average only the 72 in Supercoach, but being the number one ruckman, we think, this year. He's a great contested mark. I think he was averaging 4 a game. So in Supercoach, contested marks are worth a ton of points. And coming in number 10 is Robbie Gray. It was very tough between him and Wingard, but Robbie Gray, as a perma forward, he will get in midfield rotation and is a Supercoach stud.
Yeah, John, a really fair list there. I've got Billings as my number one forward in Supercoach, which, you know, Billings, Heaney, Menegola, I don't really mind which way you go.
It's a coin toss, yeah.
Yeah, I just think Billings is the best player with the surest role. All he has to do is fix up the goal kicking, and he's a stud. Heaney, obviously, is very good as well. But Menegola, I'm prepared to wear it in Supercoach that he isn't in the midfield, where in Dream Team he can still build the score, much like Michael Barlow, okay? Whereas they're better Dream Team players than Supercoach. So I'm prepared to have Menegola in at number 3. Rory Lobb I've got in at number 5. I'm just so hot on him. The hit-out to advantage rate, it's the best in the NFL over the last couple of years. You give me all that. Give me all the Rory Lobb. Everyone knows I'm all about it this year. I've been on it since day dot. Since the second Shane Mumford said I'm out, I was in, baby. The chips are in.
Man, I can't wait to do what you did to me last year when I was hot on Handsome Tom. Just going to start feeding the Rory Lobb pictures on our home league Facebook page.
I got to say, this is the worst thing about doing a podcast. And, you know, if you've been with us for a couple of years, you know I write a dozen deals article each week that talks about trade scenarios. Everyone in my goddamn league knows what I'm planning to do. All right? For me to get a deal done is like pulling teeth. Like in our league, everyone knows all my moves. So I don't know. I'm going to have to draft Rory Lobb like number 6 overall or something like that. That's, otherwise, I'm missing out completely. All right.
To show you how that works in our keeper league, at the beginning of last year, as soon as the draft completed, someone offered me Devin Smith for Sam Doherty. Here, have your boy so I can have my boy. Devin Smith, no Sam Doherty. Lockie Neal, on the other hand. Now, gentlemen, the question I had is, and this is my perception again, you guys know Supercoach more than me, is Chad Wingard to me just reeks of a Supercoach legend. Kicks those sealers, you know, and when you're adding those points at the end of the game. He's like to me that he'll get 60 points in the last quarter.
Yeah, he does have that upside, but then he'll go missing for 2 quarters and have no impact on the game, which is how the game is geared, how your impact is. So at the start of the game, when everything's even, it's actually geared more towards better scoring. So if there's a blowout in the last quarter, your points aren't worth as much compared to, say, it's a 1-point game. Like, say, best instance, Robbie Gray last year, when he kicked that winning goal off the Paddy Ryder tap, he would have got massive Supercoach points for that because it was such a tight, close game and the impact it had on the game. So it's weighted scoring, basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I've got Chad at number 8. I'm a little bit hotter than you. You're talking about someone who 3 of the last 5 years has gone 97-plus. Can't ignore that sort of scoring. I think Port Adelaide are going to be a pretty good team. I've got Robbie Gray a little bit higher at number 7. The guy I'm a little bit lower on is Josh Kennedy. I've got him at number 11. Obviously, we know he's missing a decent chunk of the preseason. And again, you're talking about it. Like, he's been a good scorer, but he's missing. Prittis and Mitchell are gone. Like, what their midfield mix looks like and what the delivery inside 50 is to Josh Kennedy, I've got some question marks about it. Like, what sort of ball he's going to see. Like, I've still got him high, but I don't feel like I like having him that high.
You don't want him as that first round full rather someone in front of
him. I've got Jared Ruff in at number 10. Obviously, I'm pretty high on Roughhead compared to, well, I don't know about you, Jono, but compared to the Statesman. I feel like I know what he's going to do. So if I completely ignore forwards for the first, say, 5 rounds, I might end up with Jared Roughhead as my F1. I'm okay with that.
Hmm. No, I'd be fine with that too. Mm. I mean, well, moving on to the second lot, I mean, I've got Chad Wingard at number 11. It was a coin toss between him and Robbie Gray to go into it, and I think just the fact that Wingard's probably burnt me a little bit. Number 12 for me is Smoking Joe Danaher. This guy is built for Supercoach. Contested marks, long kicks, actually worth more points than just a short kick. Goals, he gets up the ground, he's going to get the possessions. I think Essendon will be a better team. Now that they've all come together, they've had that year together, they will be a better team. And I see his scores actually pushing into the low 90s for Joe Danaher in 2018. So probably could go a bit higher, but just want to see how they go about it in the pre-season, the Bombers. Next cab off the rank is Jack Gunston for me. He's been a great super coach over the years, averaging the 90s. Just came back to 86 this year. Can see him going back. Next is Jared Ruffhead. So only a few spots lower than you, Steve, there. I do like him as well. Handsome Tom is my next cab off the rank. He can... you know what a fan I am of him. I think he can go absolutely crazy and can top even 10. Potentially be a top five score. Absolutely, absolutely. It's all going to be a pre-season watch with the Gold Coast Suns, and I'm very interested in a lot of the Gold Coast Suns players this year. Luke Dalhouse coming in next for me. Scored the average in the 90. I mean, this is a guy who averaged 105 just a couple of years ago. Not going to see that again, I don't think, unless... Luke Beveridge goes crazy and lets him play pure mid, but there is going to be time split between him and Toby McLean, so 90's probably his max, so it's going to be somewhere in between, I think, for Luke Dalhouse. Charlie Dixon, any team that adds Tom Rockliffe and Stevie Motlop to that midfield, he's going to be getting supply left, right and centre. Average 19 super coach, takes a lot of marks, kicks a lot of goals as well, so they'll be looking to feed him at every opportunity.
Who was that?
Coming in next...
Charlie Dixon.
That was Charlie Dixon. Next is Jeremy Cameron for me. Average of the 89. As Steve said, was injured towards the end of the year. Probably affected his scores a little bit. And as I agree with Steve, GWS are going to tear some teams apart this year. 19 for me is the pattern for me. Average of the 80. Just a contested beast. Kicks the goals. He only needs 4 or 5 goals to get close to the ton with his contested marking and great kicking. Number 20 is actually good personality, Tom Lynch. When it is wet, yes, all big guys do go missing, but he is the link in that Adelaide team. Up and down the wing all day long. Gets the goal assists, which do score you well, and score involvements. In Supercoach, do score you quite well. That's the second 10.
Well, I think he'd done a pretty good job bringing in Charlie Dixon. I just don't think you're supporting the team that's going to win the premiership this year, Steve. I think it's a pretty poor effort by you, just going back to the last 5 years where Hawthorn was good, full of 20-year-olds. I think you might have the issue, not so much Jono.
Well, I don't know who you are and why I ever referenced your why I ever referenced your presence. Well, I've lost my train of thought. Joe Danaher, in agreement at number 12. I had Handsome Tom at 13, so I'm with you there. The big whiff, Christian Petrarca. What are you doing? Where is he? What's your game plan?
Yeah,
it's not as high as CP.
It's an interesting question because I agree with you, Steve, with Petrarca, but I actually had him higher in the Supercoach than I did my dream team, which is a dream team I had 30, had him at 23 in the Supercoach rankings. Not that I'm proficient at that game whatsoever, but it's all based on potential. And I then linked and saying, well, who is the more likely to break out? Was it Parrish or CP? I reckon CP is the better player, and that's why I have him a bit higher on Supercoach than I have Parrish. In Dream Team, I reckon Parrish is more the accumulator. He's going to get so much more of the footy one than what CP is. My problem with CP is how is he actually effectiveness at the footy going to be, because he does have less of a tank than what a Parrish does. So does that mean he's going to start turning the footy over when he's tired?
Oh, look.
That'll stick him forward, probably.
I think that's the thing, is everything Parrish does is going to be forward to centre, which is Supercoach points. Like, I've got Parrish in front of Petrarca in Dream Team. But again, like you, I've got Parrish at 30 in Supercoach.
Yeah.
Whereas I've got Parrish at 14. I really want that upside. And I look at the other guys who I've got below him, and I'm like, well, what the hell are they going to do that's... Like, I mean, if everything comes together for Petrarca, he's a top 10 player. He's a top 10 forward. Like, if it's a slow burn, well, he's not going to kill you because he's probably not going to give you bad scores on a week-to-week basis. He's probably just not going to hit the ceiling like a Chad Wingard's going to go 140 a few times. Like, he's probably not going to do that.
I just wonder what he's going to end up being. And I use Dusty Martin as an example because they're sort of similar players where they lacked a tank, but they are strong over the footy and use the footy quite well. So although not exactly the same, but they're sort of the closest two young players that I can think of in recent times, where by this time, Dusty Martin had some inconsistent scores. But he also showed in his second season, I'm pretty sure it was, that he could pump out 130. And I don't think we've seen that from CP.
I understand that, and I kind of wondered if Petrarca was going to be a slow build kind of guy like a Paul Chapman. I think I mentioned that a couple of months ago. But I've sort of pushed my chips in on it. And I'm gonna roll like that. Number 15, I've got Michael Barlow. I think, where did you have him, Jono? You weren't
Six.
Five. Obviously, look, I'm a little bit lower on him in the Supercoach. I just think there's players I'm a bit more secure on him in the Supercoach, but obviously in the Dream Team format we know what a beast he is. Whereas other forwards don't have that scoring potential. The key forwards do not score that way. One guy I actually think you've missed, I think Ugly Tom pretty similar, Jack Gunston pretty similar, Tom Hawkins. I've got him at 18. Give me all the Tom Hawkins, mate. He's turned the corner.
Really?
You give me that. Hey, you give me Gary Ablett, Dangerfield, Selwood, Mitch Duncan kicking it down his throat. He's the only game in town. How are you not ranking him up there?
And
I've got him in the next 10.
And what about the next one that made me think of it is Tex?
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower on Tex. He's at 34. Yeah. I think Adelaide come back a little bit.
Moving on to the final 10, kicking it off with CP5, Steve. He was there, just a little bit lower than you are on him. As you said, a bit of a slow burn. Kane Lambert coming in at 22. We saw what he could do last year, and very exciting stuff. I've got Jack Martin in at 23. I can see him playing a wing role, pushing in the forward line. Could even go up to an 87, 88 average. That's where I've always expected him to score in both formats, actually, not just Supercoach. Next, I've got David Mundy. I still think the old dog can do it. He's a smart footballer, and he's a good footballer, good user of the football. And when you're a good user of the football, you do get rewarded in Supercoach. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Mundy. Next, again, another old dog is Travis Boak. Still will roll through the midfield. Not going to see the 90s plus like you see in Dream Team. Slightly lower in the Supercoach scoring. Next, I've got Jordan Dugowie. Agree with Statesman. It's time for him to lift it up a notch and show us exactly what he's got. Next, I've got, with your Statesman, Brett Deledio. Kind of excited about what he's going to do this year. I'm kind of opposite to what you think. When your player goes to a new club, the first year they're going to excel. I've always got the theory, first year takes them a year just to work themselves into it, and the second year is when we see the results. And certainly going to see Brett Deledio fire this year. Don't expect 112, but something close I'm hoping for. No, just kidding. Toby McLean, with you, Steve. I think with him and Dalhouse, they're going to be rotating that small forward midfield. local bull terrier, who they're just going to be nipping at everyone's heel, laying tackles and getting the clearances. Second last is Mitch Robinson. I think he's just going to be playing that loose tagger, going to get the tackles, going to be the extractor. And my last pick is Tom Hawkins. There is a lot on that 30 precipice that you can put in, but thinking about it, as you said, Steve, with you got Danger, Ablett, Duncan, and the likes kicking it down his throat, just sneaks in my top 30.
Yeah, fair enough. Sorry, I missed who you had at 25, Jono, just before we move on.
Travis Spoke.
Ugh, gross. Jesus Christ. Jack Martin, Kane Lambert, I'm okay with. David Mundy, I've got him at 33. I think he's going to have his games, but I don't love it. He's such a he can be switched with roles at any time. We've seen that in the past. Frio are transitioning. There's so many better midfield players that he could be stuck out on a flank, and I don't love that at all. Travis Boak, I've got him at 31, so obviously I'm hotter on him in Dream Team because, again, Dream Team doesn't reward the key forwards like Supercoach. So, again, he's an okay player, but Port Adelaide have got a lot of different players in the mix. So the players I've got higher than you, I've got Michael Walters in at 24. Obviously, I've mentioned in the Dream Team section that I'm pretty hot on him. Dalhouse I got at 25. The thing about Luke Dalhouse is his best year was when Libba was out and Bont was still his second year. Like, you know what I mean? They sort of needed him in there. Like, now they don't need him in there. I'm very cold on Dalhouse. I don't think I'll end up with him in any drafts. I've still got him ranked.
I only had the one question to round this off before we go to listeners' questions. But where did you have Jesse Hogan?
Hang on, I'll just go to my other list. He is 31.
Okay. Yeah, just missed. Okay. But I reckon this is the game for Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, I really want to give out a couple. Sorry, go on with Jesse Hogan rebuttal, and I want to give out a couple of shout outs as well.
Yeah, I just believe that I've always been a fan. There's been one major exception, and that's obviously Lance Franklin. But the key forwards game is Supercoach. It's not the Dream Team part of it. I mean, you can still get them in the lower rankings, still worthwhile. Boom, bust, yes. But Jesse Hogan is due for a major breakout. It's going to come at some stage, and the game is going to do that in Supercoach. And he's sort of the one in that game that I'd start taking the punt on. And I think he should be ranked higher than certainly 31. That's my gut feel. The other one who I just don't know where he fits, so I didn't go hard on him, but Caleb Daniel is a quality user of the football, a quality decision maker, and a person that actually gets score assists on the team sheet week in, week out. And I don't think it's too far away until he is solid on the starting 18 for that club. And once that happens, he's going to be a very consistent footballer and is definitely that money ball type of player.
Yeah, I think it's just the number of possessions that Daniel gets, and he starts behind the ball as well. So he's there mainly as a clean-up coming when the ball's coming into defence. He's not the attacking midfielder.
But just a couple of honourable mentions who we haven't touched on. Tom Papley, he's second-best avenue to goal. I think very underrated, exceptionally underrated, quite frankly, outside of his home state. I think he's going to be a really worthy D4 for any team. Hugh McCluggage, I think the breakout's there. I know it's the second year, and I don't like projecting second-year breakouts, but we've seen the shift of
Oliver.
Rocky out of the team.
Oliver's a classic example. Can happen.
It can happen. Jackson McRae, another one, can happen. And the other guy who I see the second-year breakout is possible is Sam Petrescu-Seaton. People aren't talking about this guy, and I do not understand why. Tackling machine, can get all the pill, find space. All three of those guys as your D4, someone's going to pop.
All right, moving on now to our listeners' questions, and we have got plenty to get through. Kicking it off with Bangers and Mash 85, Phil on Twitter. Any chance for a tour to meet your West Coast listeners? Statesman, you're more than welcome to come along too. Well, if we get sponsored by the AFL, I'm pretty sure we can do a junket over there and put it on the AFL's bill. I'd be pretty happy to do that. Steve, do you like the dry heat of the
desert? Well, I don't know where we can find a DeLorean, so how the hell are we going to get over to Perth? That's my big question.
I'll get the butler to drive us over, gentlemen.
Next question is from at Hugh Winterfield on Twitter as well. He goes, what club is most fantasy relevant in 2018? He's got the Crows, the Pies, and the Cats that come to mind. What are our thoughts on which teams are most fantasy relevant this year?
It's very dependent on what game you're talking about, because every club is fantasy relevant when we're talking draft. It's just where you structure them. I think the actual interesting one, which therefore becomes where you get some real value this year, and that's what I'll take as being relevant, the ones that you can pick up a D3-4 or an F3-4 very late in the draft, are going to be clubs like North Melbourne, because we're not discussing many of their players, but someone will score for those clubs, and there could be high scoring players that we're just unaware of at the moment. And we talk about the quality that comes from waiver wire. It's at the moment we're playing down Western Bulldogs because we don't know what the coach is going to do. There'll be some gems that come out of that club. There's going to be some gems that come out of the midfield restocking at West Coast Eagles, and there's going to be probably 10 gems coming out of the North Melbourne Football Club, because we just don't know who's going to be capable of delivering what. So fantasy relevance when it comes to draft, it's everyone is relevant. Every club is relevant. It's just where you can find your gems.
Yeah, and I'll throw in the Saints as well for that as well. Next question is from Matt on Twitter. You guys ask, where is the best place to get fantasy/supercoach info if you don't have access to the Supercoach Gold passes or anything like that? Plenty of websites out there. You've got footywire.com,
Dan Footy, the Draft Doctors, draftdoctors.com has a lot of good articles. Great rankings.
But again, there's also plenty of podcasts. There's us, there's the Traders.
There's no Jock Reynolds. What's going on with that?
There's no Jock Reynolds. He's just gone into the ether. The Phantom, if you do play Supercoach, he's got a really great podcast. And if you like your stats in that, I'm not sure if it's back this year, but The Drill. Drill is a good podcast.
The Drill was the best.
Steve's favourite.
It is awesome.
The next question is from Reese Anderton on Twitter. Hypothetically, if Jordan Lewis got defensive status in Ultimate Footy, where would we rank him?
Is he over 30?
In the top 10 mark. Yeah, he's about 40 now.
Is his name David Mundy or Brett Delidio? Because then, Christ,
so then they wouldn't be in the top 20, but they might fit in the top 30.
Who was it, Jordan Lewis?
He'd be reasonably high, I would think.
I'd him at 10.
Yeah, I'd have him in the 10 to 14, 15 range quite easily. Yep. The next question is from, and I hope I pronounce his name right, is David Halich. I hope I got that right. He just wants us to have a chat about strategy and depth of positions. He said in one episode we were willing to have a weak forward line because we can waiver for them. He goes, how many tier one and tier two forwards would you have to achieve this?
Oh, look, can I say it all depends what you've got. You're quite happy to have a weak forward line in a keeper model if you haven't got the forwards to keep, because then you can restock that probably easier than you can a high level or high scoring midfielder. So you don't go and get rid of a Josh Kelly for a risky Dale House if you've only got six keepers. So it's probably easy to rebuild from there, if that makes sense.
He's also got a second part to the question. He goes, with a lot of midfield injuries occurring, is it worth drafting another mid before completing your on-field side? and it says, do your rankings shift once you draft certain players, e.g. you draft Gaz, so you drop O'Meara further back?
My point of view on this one is only if there's an absolute gem that's been left alone do you not feel your ground. Because you might actually miss out on having the balanced lineup if you do that. But if you get to the point where you've got two positions left in your forwards and two positions left in your defence, but there's someone of the quality in the midfield, like a Luke Dunstan, who scored the 110s in the second half of the season, but he only averaged in the mid to high 80s, but he's still there. I'll jump on that because it gives you something tradable that you can get even bigger later on.
Yeah, look, I don't have a problem, and I'd say I do it most of the time. I'd try to fit, like, and I keep in mind, I play in 5-7-1-5 on-field leagues. I know some people play in the 3-4-1-3 leagues, but I'll often grab an extra midfielder just because the midfielders aren't there to roster before I fill out my forward lineup or my defender lineup, because those F4s, D4s, they're often hitting the waiver wire before I've even started the season. Midfielders, they just don't exist, the pure mids. Let's be honest about it. There's not even as many pure mids as there are players with forward status. So I've got no qualms about doing that. Depends on the league, though. If you're in a 3-4-1-3 league, I probably wouldn't do it.
Exactly right. From at HMW47, his real name is Harry. He's in a Supercoach draft. Please rank out of the following players. You got Dusty, Nat Fyfe, Josh Kelly, Tommy Mitch, the Bont, and Zach Merritt. Quickly done a little bit of my midfield ranking so I can tell you.
Pretty sure I answered that online. I think I had Titch, Kelly, Dusty... Oh, sorry. Titch, Kelly, Fyfe, Dusty, Bont, and Zach for Supercoach.
Got Titch, Dusty, Kelly, Fyfe, Merritt, Bont.
I'm a little bit cooler on Zerritt for this year.
Supercoach.
Don't have him ranked at 33 overall, but, you know, don't let the flames hit me.
From at Roxman, their league is making the switch to Ultimate Footy Keeper this year. They run a 5-7-1-5 5 on the bench league. What is the consensus on how many players to carry over?
I like the 10 to 12 mark. It's all personal touch, but if you're doing a keeper, if it is a 10 man league, I'll definitely keep 12. If it's a 12, I'd keep 10 to 12.
There you go. 10 to 12 is the magic number. From Dave Swizz on Facebook, he says, with injuries to top defenders, how much does that change round one rankings regarding primo defenders like Laird?
Yeah, I actually don't think it does. This was the strangest thing, is because I'm obviously the Zach Williams truther out of the bunch, having ranked him number one Supercoach overall, but I actually don't think it moves the needle greatly. For your dream team model, I had him ranked at 11. Now, that's not even a tier 1. So it doesn't change your tier 1. For Supercoach, look, I think Rory Laird should be drafted in the first round anyway. I had him, I think, at 5 or 6 overall. So I was very comfortable drafting him super early, but I'm not sure it moved the needle.
And he... also asked, there's been little talk about Rory Sloane, Matty Crouch, and the Sydney 3. Where do you guys see them going in Supercoach leagues this year?
Matty Crouch high? Yeah, it's a mixture Sloane with the other.
Second high?
Yeah, no, I'd go Parker second high, then JPK, then Sloane, then Dan Hamm.
These are my Supercoach midfield rankings. I've got Matt Crouch at 8. I've got Rory Sloane at 11. Have JPK at 21, Parker at 22, and Hanbury at 37. So I'm still pretty high on Sloane. Sloane, if I was going to predict that I'd get any of them, it'd be Sloane.
Got a question here from Al Borland on Facebook. What's up with the statesman and his saltiness? No.
Howdy ho.
It's tennis season, that's why.
What is Heppel's worth in a keeper league? Have we seen his best? And will Zach Merritt take some of the heat off him and free him up a little this year?
Yeah, I don't know, gentlemen. I'm not that hot on him myself, which actually makes him a value, doesn't it?
I think a lot of people have cooled off on Heppel this year because what is he really? Just a solid 100 averaging midfielder, which is M4-ish in that range. So not a whole heap of value, you wouldn't think, but nice pick to have.
You're not going to be disappointed if you own him and he's your M3. You'd be loving it. But as you say, he's not going to be your captain option. And if he's your first pick midfielder, your team's probably not going too well.
And he also asked Calvin from the Dream Team Talk stated that lunch meat will be this year's caddy. The trade makes a lot of sense, sucking in coaches.
Yeah.
You think you're drafting an absolute stud, but you're actually getting a massive dud. Statesman, try and find that one.
Look, the silver
from Al Borland.
The silver fox in Calvin has got this one summed up pretty well. And look, he could burn. I got sucked into the caddy model. And I'm probably doing the same with lunch meat here. So I can understand the statement, and it's probably a pretty wise. And that's learning lessons from history in draft versus talking about salary cap. I think they're two different discussions. Lunch meat has still got some worth when we're talking draft, but probably Calvin's probably right if he's talking about the salary cap model. It looks and sounds and feels like a trap for salary cap. He still has worth in draft.
And on that note, we are going to wrap up the show. It's been a long show. It's been a fun show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, if you've got any questions, you can do that by throwing them our way on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. We've got the Facebook page there as well. You can send us some questions. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and the Instagram, The Draft Doctors, as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.